Madness of March is right around the corner, and the Cougars are in the middle of it. It's time to talk some college basketball on Cougar Sports with Ben Crittle.
Welcome back to the program, ESPN 960 Sports on Thursday. We've talked plenty of football in February, Brandon. What the heck? Usually nothing's going on in February, but the last couple of years, tons of football news, college football news in February. But college basketball is in full swing. And coming up next on our program from the Ken Palm Ratings, it is Ken Pomeroy. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going well. I want to get the big picture question out of the way first. In the transfer portal slash NIL era, are there some trends in your ratings that you've noticed that have changed or are different than they used to be?
Not really. I mean, honestly, if we didn't know NIL was happening or the transfer portal was happening, you wouldn't suspect there was anything going on in college basketball. I mean, I feel like honestly, there's even maybe a little more parity, certainly this year, than there has been in recent years. And I don't know if you can pin that on the transfer portal or not. I mean, I think NIL, just logically in my mind, would have less of an impact on basketball than football. You know, there was so much money already baked into the system that I don't know that NIL really changes it that much. And to whatever extent it does change it, it may just like backfire on, you know, in some of the more high profile cases where guys who, suddenly come into a lot of money may, you know, subconsciously be a little less motivated to excel. And so, so overall, yeah, we haven't had that issue. I mean, you look at the teams that are great this year. You know, you got, at least the top of my ratings, you got Houston, Tennessee, Purdue, UCLA, and Alabama are the top five. And obviously, UCLA is a historically great program, but those other four schools are, you know, they don't have a ton of basketball tradition. So it's not like the Blue Bloods have risen to the top. The Blue Bloods have really been a colossal disappointment in a lot of cases.
So basically what you're saying is it's business as usual in terms of, I just wonder, because with basketball, one guy can make such a huge difference, where in football, not quite as much because you have so many positions, you know, there's only five guys on the court for basketball. I just wondered if there was anything happening. And from what you're telling me, it's even created more parity, which in most people's minds is better than having just, you know, three or four dominant teams every year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll confess I'm not, you know, as dialed into football. It does seem like in football, you know, depth is more important and more possible. And so, you know, NIL, perhaps, I think, in a way, if you can spread that money around to, you know, 15, 20 guys, you know, it can obviously secure a football team in a way that isn't as easy to do in basketball. I mean, you know, you think about the path to being a professional, like you need to play and you kind of need to be, you know, a top three guy on your team or something like that. So there just really isn't, I just don't see it happening. And there really isn't an example that comes to mind this year where a guy, you know, is a fourth or fifth guy or a sixth guy coming off the bench who, you know, ends up transferring to a school or going there out of high school where, you know, NIL money made the difference or something, and there's extra depth. Like, that just is not the way college basketball works these days. And so I think in that sense, like, NIL is kind of a, you know, it's kind of a dud when it comes to changing the landscape of college basketball. Now, the portal, you know, is a different story, and obviously the trend has been for, you know, you have good guys coming to smaller programs. The smaller programs kind of turn into, you know, development systems for the bigger programs at this point, and great players at smaller programs end up transferring up at some point. But even then, you know, all the player movement, I think, still tends to make life difficult in some sense for some of those great programs, because it's really hard to, you know, develop an elite basketball team by having just a bunch of new faces come in for one season. Like, you do need, you know, four or five guys in a program to have some continuity, have some staying power for that, you know, kind of that Final Four program to develop.
Well, Ken, you know that anything can happen on a given night. And on Saturday, BYU, who's in the 80s in your rankings, had St. Mary's beat, basically, who's number 7 in your rankings. And what was interesting about that BYU game is that two of those high-profile transfers, Noah Waterman and Jackson Robinson, were suspended for the game, didn't play. And then the other one, Rudy Williams, had very little impact on the game, didn't play a lot. It was basically the non-transfer guys that helped BYU stay with St. Mary's and nearly beat them until their freshman hit like an impossible follow-away shot to beat. So I just wonder sometimes when we're talking about transfer portal, sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's miss, and sometimes your guys that are already in the program can create some good opportunities for you to win. Speaking of St. Mary's, they are ranked 18th this week, Gonzaga 12th, but St. Mary's is 7th in your rankings, Gonzaga 17th. What's happening there with those two teams?
Well, I mean, St. Mary's has just been a force, pretty much all season, but especially in league play. Obviously, the BYU game was their closest call so far, this season in terms of conference games. But outside of that, they've pretty much been dominating, some of the good, mid-level teams in the league. And so they're, St. Mary's is certainly a team to watch. And, they obviously play tonight, but, the big game on Saturday when they host Gonzaga is going to be, a real test of whether they are, in fact, better than Gonzaga. I'm sure there is skepticism regarding that idea around the general populace, and certainly maybe around people who follow the league even more closely. And I would consider myself one of those skeptics as well. But St. Mary's will probably be a slight favorite in that game. And so, it'll really be a true test here. Are they ready for the limelight? Are they ready to perhaps, take this league from Gonzaga, which has not happened often in the last 25 years. But, you obviously got a good close look at what they do well when they came to Provo. And they're, slow down the pace, but they do play great defense. They take away the three-point shot. They just make you very uncomfortable offensively. And they do have their weaknesses themselves offensively. But that defense is so good that they do just enough offensively to win games when the ball's not going in the hoop, and when the offense is clicking, they pulled away from some pretty good teams this year.
Yeah, and Gonzaga, they're always one of the top offensive teams in your rankings this year. They're 7th this week, but 80th in defense. That seems a little bit lower than they've been recently. And St. Mary's is the number 5 team in your defensive rankings. So. Obviously, one of those offense defensive kind of things. And then as far as the conference goes, Loyola Marymount having themselves kind of a nice season. That's who BYU plays tonight in the Marriott Center. What are your thoughts and ratings kind of talk about when you're looking at Loyola Marymount?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of a group of teams that have kind of helped the league in terms of I guess that secondary group behind St. Mary's and Gonzaga. But Stan Johnson has that group playing well. I mean, one of the, I think more interesting players in the league is Cam Shelton, who was their 5th-year senior point guard and a guy who had pretty much played a very limited role, previously playing at Northern Arizona and then playing at LMU last year. Was not necessarily, a pillar of the offense. But this year he has been that guy. He's turned into a big-time scorer as a 5th-year senior, which is, obviously – pretty unusual. Not unusual to see a guy make a freshman to sophomore jump, but when you're going from 4th year to 5th year and making that kind of jump, that's something you don't expect. So, he's really got to be the focus, I think, of the scouting report for BYU, along with Jalen Anderson, who is, his backcourt partner, who has also been outstanding. But overall, it's a pretty solid team. I think, one thing that will help BYU tonight is that Loyola Marymount, one thing they do not do well is force turnovers, and that's obviously been a real issue for BYU for most of the season. So maybe the Cougars get a little bit of a break in that regard, but it should be a pretty good game here. I mean, both teams, obviously the ratings match up pretty closely.
We're talking to Ken Pomeroy of the Ken Pomeroy Ratings. BYU 80th in your ratings, adjusted offense because of those turnovers. I think one of the main reasons, 179th adjusted defense, 28th, which is pretty good. The number that stood out to me though, looking at the rankings, or the ratings that you provided, was BYU's luck rating, which is negative 0.084, which I'm assuming is bad because that's 335th out of 363 teams.
Right. And, you know, what that really just measures is how well you do in close games. And that's one thing about, you know, even when you look at like BYU's conference play and their like margin of victory, like it's, you know, pretty significantly positive, which is kind of unusual for a team that, that has a losing record, you know, 4-5 in conference games. So, you know, those four games they've won really have not been close down the stretch. And then in almost all their losses, you know, they've been close. And obviously the, you know, the heartbreakers against Gonzaga and St. Mary's, which were, you know, not just 1-point losses, but losses that it seemed with 2 to 3 minutes to go were, you know, I don't want to pull up the win probability charts, but were very high likelihood for BYU to win. And it just took a crazy series of events down the stretch. You know, you mentioned the Aiden Mahaney, you know, 1-foot fadeaway bucket to win for St. Mary's. But obviously Gonzaga had, you know, Julian Strother's shot to win that game, but even just a series of events before that shot to make that happen. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you can kind of envision some of the bad luck involved there. I mean, you know, it's not like there's obviously some execution issues and things you can shore up so that you're not in that position, but certainly to have a chance, you know, have the lead late against both of those teams and lose both of those games the way they did, I think is just kind of, you know, emblematic of what the BYU season has been, especially in West Coast conference play. But even, you know, going back into non-conference play as well, you know, they played some you know, tough teams close and lost games. They, you know, there's obviously some games they lost that they'd like to have back that were against not-so-tough teams. But then, you know, a fair amount of the games they won, certainly the Utah game at home, I mean, pretty impressive, and, you know, a game that they felt comfortable in the whole way. So if there's any, like, glimmer of optimism going forward about the Cougars, it is that, you know, they probably have been a little bit unlucky, and, you know, a little more luck going forward, they should, you know, close out West Coast Conference play with a winning record.
Well, and the two things that are similar in those St. Mary's and Gonzaga losses is that BYU made one of two free throws before those game-winning shots were made by the Gales and by the Bulldogs, respectively. And I don't know how much luck that is, but, you know, that's something you can control, is making free throws. So perhaps that's where BYU needs to look to try to finish out games, is to make the free throws. Our producer, Bryce Larson, has to make sure that we ask about Utah Valley University, 90th in your ratings right now, and having a pretty good season in their conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, great call there. I mean, obviously, you know, the win at BYU was a nice springboard for them. You know, they won at Oregon, which was also a nice win for them, and you know, doing great in league as well. I mean, it's obviously a situation where you know, they need to win their conference tournament to get a bid. But if they do get a bid, you know, they'll be like you know, probably a 13 seed. So, you know, they would have a winnable game in the first round. But I think a good example there of the transfer portal as well. You know, they lose Bardoz Amak to the transfer portal, and you might think, you know, life is going to be tough for them. How are they going to rebuild? And, you know, somehow Mark Madsen finds a way. And not so much, you know, a little bit with the transfer portal. I mean, obviously they replaced Amak with a transfer in Aziz Bandiogo, who, you know, came over from Akron and has really excelled for them. This is kind of a rim protector and a rebounder extraordinaire. But, you know, they had other guys in the program like Justin Harmon and Trey Woodbury, who, you know, as I mentioned before, you're not going to build a team just with transfers and freshmen. Like, you have to have guys in the program, and you can kind of, you can supplement them with transfers. That's kind of the way to build a solid program, you know, in the transfer portal era. And, you know, credit to Mark Madsen, man. Like, he's done it, and UVU's having a really solid season.
All right, Ken, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the program. Anybody who is interested in finding out where their team is and all of the numbers that make sense, that's at kenpalm.com. Ken, have yourself a great week. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ken Pomeroy of the Ken Palm Ratings. BYU basketball, to me, this year, it's been, you know, I wrote this morning, the advance I wrote was about how they deal with all those close losses, because they have 3 1-point losses. They've lost, of their 10 losses, 9 have been single digits. And if I'm a coach, and if I'm a player on that team, I keep thinking, what can I do to turn those around? We're right there. And you see teams all the time that are in a position to make a step. And then how do you make that step? Well, for BYU, next year they make a huge step into the Big 12, which is the best basketball conference in the country. And you would expect them to struggle. And I think Mark Pope knew this year was going to be up and down, but he was willing to put his guys through it to get them hardened and to kind of refine them by fire going into the Big 12. But to see what they've been able to do in those games against Gonzaga and St. Mary's, I mean, if you can bottle some of that, you shouldn't lose to other teams in the conference. You should be able to, especially at home, and BYU has a game tonight against LMU and then Saturday against Pacific in the Marriott Center. I honestly, especially after I heard that those three guys had been suspended, I didn't think BYU had any shot at all beating St. Mary's. And I was pleasantly surprised because they hung in there. They trailed by double digits a couple times, but they came back, had a great opportunity to win that game just like they did against Gonzaga, and just couldn't quite pull it off at the end. And like I said, if I'm a coach or a player, those things haunt me, man. I mean, Mark Pope told us that he doesn't really watch a lot of the KenPom and the net ranking. He doesn't really spend a lot of time doing that because, you know, the first 3 years in the program, he was kind of all about that because BYU was in the hunt. This year, he says he's just focused on making sure these guys improve every game. He said other than the trip to the Bay Area where they lost to both Santa Clara and San Francisco, and especially the San Francisco game, which wasn't very competitive, he feels like they've done that. They've gotten better. And he's just got to focus on that because if you start looking at, gosh, if we make one free throw here, if we do this there, we could have won those games, you just drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. Well, I haven't paid a lot of attention to BYU basketball this year. I'll admit it. It's just frustrating for me to watch. But I started out this year, and I think a lot of people were with me, was the key guy this year that's going to make or break this team is Rudy Williams, right? And just through my own viewing and all that, I think that still stands. When he's good and involved, BYU's typically doing good things, but he just has a tendency to disappear. And fortunately for BYU, Dallin Hall stepped up big time against St. Mary's to kind of take away what Rudy Williams wasn't given. But he's just been an enigma to me. When I first saw him play, I'm like, yeah, this guy's talented. He's good. And it's hard for me to understand the reasoning behind it, why he just disappears, why he hasn't been able to establish himself more. I don't know. Initially we thought it was a really good idea to have him come off the bench. Was it? I don't know. In retrospect, maybe they should have left him running that point. And I don't know. To me, that's the biggest thing with this team. And maybe it's too late to make something. I don't know. It's really hard for me to understand what BYU basketball is, what the expectations should be, and what this team's going to do. But like you said, it's all about building up toward next year.
Yeah.
So
it is. ESPN 960 Sports. We appreciate Ken Pomeroy for coming on, talking about some BYU basketball. But we're back to football in the next segment. As you know, that
Thank
is this
goodness.
The show is about. Then Brandon Gurney can feel comfortable.
I don't want to talk basketball.
Coming up next in the program from Football Outsiders, Parker Fleming. And we'll discuss college football, the Big 12, all of that on ESPN 960 Sports. So stay with us. We will return in a moment.